Good morning, Matt.
Hey, Johnny, how's it going?
I'm doing fantastic. It's early, well, it's morning here on my side. How are you doing, Matt?
Yeah, it's going into the afternoon here, and things are good. I had a great week last week, and yesterday was Sunday, and I got to spend some time at the beach, which was great. Nice warm weather. We're in autumn now. And it's starting to get colder, but yesterday was one of those abnormal autumn days where we could go to the beach and have a lot of fun. How was your weekend?
Well, I've been pretty busy, and we have to say this. We're recording at a strange time, morning on my side and in the afternoon, because we usually record at a later time. And that's because this is take two of our recording.
Yep. It is. We, unfortunately, when we recorded last week, only one of the tracks was recorded. So when we went to go and download the recording so that we could start editing, unfortunately, my specific track was not available. And it was a user error on our part, but it's one of those things that we had to learn the hard way. And now we're re-recording, and hopefully we will do a better job this time than we did last time.
Yes, well, Matt, thank you for extending the grace to me, because it was 100% on me, because I messed up the setting of the recording software. So we are doing this again. Hopefully, we can do this quickly. So let's give a progress update. What did we ship last week? I'm gonna start off with, we have a shipped podcast last week. We are on the Apple podcast, we are on Spotify, so we are on a bunch of podcast outlets, and we also have a name, BGR. Buy, Grow, Repeat.
Yeah, I'm so super excited about that name, and it took a while and it took a few iterations for us to find the perfect name, but I think in the end we got the right one, and we managed to get the .com domain name, which was a big deal. And yeah, it's just great that we were able to get it released and put our first episode out there. And yeah, hopefully it's a sign of good things to come.
Yes, and this is episode two, and we're doing it a second time because we're committed to shipping on a weekly basis, similar to our accountability segment for our respective businesses. So that's why we are we want to make sure that there's something that you can listen to on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I think that's important. Like, we easily could have just left this and say, hey, well, you know, it messed up, we'll just wait for the next week. But as part of our commitment to this podcast is that we want it to happen weekly, and we want consistency. And one of my favorite segments of the podcast is the accountability section. And, you know, this forms part of that accountability. But I on the last podcast, we obviously committed to a few items of things that we wanted to get done. And I think it would be a good time to recap on those and see how we did. So based on your commitments last week, how did it go for you?
Yeah, so my commitment last week was to, number one, ship the podcast. So that was a success. We got our social media on Twitter. We got a buygrowrepeat.com domain. So you can go there to for any episodes and to go on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. So that was pretty exciting. I mean, I spent a majority of time editing. Please forgive me if you feel the posts or the episode one had a lot to desire in terms of the editing work. And the second one was, I wanted to ship a newsletter to document the current deal that I'm going through, and I was able to ship that to a bunch of my close friends and to my group for the first issue, and you can go to my newsletter at johnnytong.com/newsletter to subscribe, which I'm going to document. Again, it's some similar to what we're going to talk about, but it's more in a written form with more insider stories and numbers and such.
Yeah, it's I was super excited to receive the first version of that, and looking forward to your future updates and your future newsletters. I believe you got it done just in time, right? Before our last podcast. Well, our last recording. Yes. That failed.
Yes, that's right. And it does a little teaser in there. And the biggest thing that I've begun doing was the asset transfer. As we talked about in the last episode, I'm currently going through finalizing on a deal. Last episode, I wired the money. And
that's huge news.
Yes.
I don't believe that was mentioned at all last time. It was kind of, you were looking at a deal, but nothing had been committed yet. And so you wired your money last week. And how's it going? It's going well.
Oh, right. Exactly. So I got a timing mixed up. So I wired the money. That was a first experience. So I used an escrow to wire the money to the escrow. So for those of you that are not familiar with the deal, sometimes these things happen over the transactions happen over an escrow because, well, you don't want to wire something directly to the seller because once they have the money, I mean, then leverage goes all the way to the seller side. They don't have to. Sometimes they don't have to, they would forget to give you certain things, and you really have no recourse once you wire, except for, I guess, on the legal side, I guess, because there's an asset purchase agreement that we both signed. But that is a costly process. So an escrow kind of stands in the middle where you would wire the money to them, and the asset transfer happens. Sometimes that the asset also gets transferred to the escrow, but for us, I just use escrow.com where there's a checklist of things where I set up milestones. So there are different milestones that we have to hit, and the money will go in tranches.
Yeah, it sounds like that's probably a safer way to do it. And it protects you and the seller from various different types of risk. When I did my deal with on WP Discussion Board last year, I felt that I had built enough rapport and trust with the seller that we both didn't feel like anything would go wrong. And we kind of took a leap of faith, and we decided not to use an escrow service. It was also a smaller deal that wouldn't have warranted the cost of escrow. And it was quite scary because I hadn't I'd only emailed the seller of the business of WP Discussion Board. I had never spoken to him over the phone. We didn't do any Zoom calls. We were just emailing back and forth, and there was a lot of trust, and kind of I had to take that leap of faith to wire him $15,000 and hope that he was going to deliver what he said he would. It made sense for me as well because the money that I had to purchase the business was sitting in an account in the UK, and the seller was from the UK. So it was just a kind of wire transfer from my account to his account over there. But yeah, I don't know too much about escrow, but it definitely sounds like, based on your experience, it's been quite positive so far. And it's something that I'd look to use in the future as well.
Yeah. Oh, actually, that's a good, that's actually a pretty interesting perspective. I thought you'd be, I knew you didn't use it for your deal last time, but I thought you would be familiar with kind of how that operates. It was a bit of a learning curve for me using escrow.com. So perhaps now you've given me new ideas on what to talk about in my newsletter, because I actually did it three times. Yeah, I actually try to go back and forth. I remember it was like I probably called that service like 2 to 3 times, just going back and forth. it was one of the things that almost killed the deal, which I guess it's in, it's a story for a future episode, because the seller initially he wasn't comfortable using escrow. Well, it wasn't that he wasn't comfortable, because he was in another country, and for some reason he was having trouble basically setting up. So it could mean a killed deal, and I think that's definitely something that I'm going to talk about in my newsletter.
I think there's a lot of lessons that can be learned from that, or at least taught from that. Something that I'd be super interested in.
Mm-hmm. So any updates on your side?
Yes, quite a few. So my commitments in the last episode were that I wanted to release a free and paid version of WP Discussion Board. And I wanted to at least start building a free license email form baked into the plugin that users can use to get themselves a free license. And then I can collect the email on the back end and send them initially just a getting started email, but then also upsell them on the pro plan. So I managed to do all that, which was super exciting for me. And it's the reason why I love public accountability, is because it forces you into doing action. It's probably the most work that I've done on my plugins in a week period for a long time. I hadn't, you know, up until now I'd been doing like minor updates here and there and just trying to support the plugin. But this was some of the first big updates that I've pushed to the plugin. So yeah, I released the free version, a few updates, and then the paid version, a few updates there as well. And then I got that form built out as well. So that was exciting. The next step for that for me is to actually build the email sequence behind that form that gets submitted, and at least, you know, send them out information about getting started and then upselling them to the pro version, because at the end of the day, that's how I make my money. And that's how, like, a super exciting way for me to be able to convert more users into using the pro plan.
Excellent. Congratulations. So I think we're doing pretty well on this accountability segment, because, well, I guess now the entire world knows what we're committed to doing. So it's gonna be somewhat embarrassing if we miss our targets or miss our goals.
Social pressure.
Yeah.
If used correctly, it can be a very powerful tool.
Oh, most definitely. So we've done the updates. What do we want to talk about next?
Well, what about our commitments for this upcoming week? What do we want to do, accomplish? I know you enjoyed adding a section where you specify what you want to learn. So what is your commitments for this upcoming week, which is now a shorter week because we're actually going to record the next episode in only a couple of days. So with that in mind, what do you want to commit to?
Yes. So actually ever since we last recorded, I guess I've already kind of spilled the beans a little bit already. After the wiring of the money to the seller, we've begun to go through what's called in the asset transfer process. So what happens is the money now is out of my bank account, out of the company's bank account into the escrow, and the job of the seller is to transfer their assets, for example, domain, hosting, getting access to the server and blog, and as well as all the social media accounts, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And also the transfer, knowledge transfer sessions where I'm going to sit down with the seller or whoever's in charge, I think, because the seller is actually a company. So whoever's in charge on their tech side, on their marketing side, to walk through what are the steps to run the service. So all of that's going to happen, because on my end, once that's done, I have to tell the escrow to release the funds. Yeah. So
the final funds, or is there still more steps involved in kind of concluding the deal?
Yeah, so what I did was I actually split them up into different milestones. So for example, one of the milestones is the hard pieces, which is the domain as well as the source code repository, because that's the intellectual property that allows the service to continue. So I'm acquiring a SaaS business. So those are the first pieces, and then the next would be kind of the social media account, the servers, the blog hosting, and then the final, that will be the second milestone. The final milestone would be the knowledge transfer, which is kind of hard to quantify sometimes, because like how do you quantify, that the seller has completed sharing the knowledge of how to run the entire, SaaS business, right?
Yeah, in my case for WP Discussion Board, when I bought that plugin, I baked in a 6 month clause that the seller needed to spend at least the next 6 months answering my questions if I had any. And there was a kind of cutoff date, so that happened to be December last year, where after that he would be free of his commitments. And he stuck to it, and it worked out very well for me. But I did use that. I leant on him quite often during that 6 month period when I got questions from customers asking why something didn't work and I didn't have the knowledge, because it takes a while to skill up and learn, whether it's a SaaS software or a piece of software like I'm selling. It takes a while to learn the ins and out of it and how it works and how to support the customers best.
Yeah, so every deal might be somewhat different, because so for my deal, the seller is looking to offload the asset as quickly as possible. They don't want to they actually don't want to be responsible for it. So I've been looking at, some support tickets. I think they haven't been an even answering some of the intercom conversations. So for me, it might be in a little bit different of a situation where I might have to do more digging myself. I might have to even hire a consultant to, to look at the code base, right, for anything that I might not be familiar with. And I part of that is not. So for you, it's great that you have 6 months where you can have where you have access to the original seller. For me, it's a company that actually acquired this software from the original founder. So what they've done is they've given me the contact of the original founder of the business. So and he I believe he's like a solo founder when he created the software. So I'll have to contact him individually to see
Okay.
if he's in, yeah, and what to see whether he would be interested in helping out, and perhaps engage in a paid engagement.
Yeah, I find I've seen it quite often in different communities that I'm involved with when somebody purchases a property that's whether it's the founder or the person selling it. Sometimes these businesses jump through multiple hands, but you can usually find at least one person who's willing to kind of contract to you and help you out to actually, answer questions, run the software, learn the history of how it was built and where the issues are and things that can be improved, and then also, even customer support questions and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, so I guess that's that transferring of the assets is going to take the majority of my time. And the second piece is I want to figure out branding for the portfolio. We talked about this in episode one, because you have a brand for your a holding company. It's called software.io, except without the vowels. So I want to figure out a branding for the portfolio, because yeah, after acquiring the first one, I want to kind of be able to put up, the brand to say that, hey, this is the portfolio, and we have a first acquisition underneath the portfolio, so that marketing, I can market it to the world.
Is your intention with that brand to drive leads in terms of new businesses, people wanting to sell, or is it just a holding space for now? Like, how quickly are you going to look to get into your second deal? Or are you going to look to, hey, if this is your first deal, let's see how it goes over the next few months, figure it out? Or are you going to continue looking for new deals?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I remember when I was wiring the money over, after the money went over, the investor asked me about, oh, so once we have this done, when can we, work on the next deal? I'm like, oh, hold on. We have to, there's still a bunch of work, right? So I think sometimes there's a little bit of investor education there as well. It's not just about, wiring the money, right? There's still a bunch of, knowledge transfer, asset transfer, perhaps rebranding of the software business. And a whole bunch of things, like maybe put people in place. Maybe we need to do a redesign, right, of the website. And where do you put customer support in place? So there's a whole bunch of things. So for me right now, I think in the next, I'm still gonna watch out for deals. But I think for the next, at least for the next 90 days, the primary focus is going to be growing and taking over this software that we just acquired.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's also context dependent, because if this piece of software was run by someone where there's a low level of low level of maintenance required, and it's just kind of running smoothly, then perhaps I can jump in quicker, and perhaps this is just a revenue stream where I'm not looking to grow, right? It's just a cash revenue stream that's just pumping out money, and I'm not looking to grow the revenue. Then yeah, but there's potential for this piece of software, so I wanted to make sure that we take advantage of this opportunity first.
Yeah, and I think that's a good strategy. One step at a time and small steps, and start figuring out how the thing works. And that's kind of what I did for at least 6 months. Well, actually, even up until now, I haven't started looking for... Well, I lie. This last week, I saw a deal that I quite liked that I'm going to start taking a look at the numbers and stuff around it. But yeah, I took it slow, and it's a good... That's how you learn, is you just take it one step at a time, and you'll get a good kind of cadence going around the supports of the software and figuring out, what needs to be done on a weekly basis, and potentially whether you can hire people and put them in place to do that work for you. And then also figuring on, like, a big part of buying these micro SaaS businesses or software businesses is that you bake into your due diligence a growth rate that you're going to expect. So you want the property to grow, and that growth is what, is how you cover you hopefully, if all goes well, you make your money back quicker and you can move on to the next deal. So when I looked at my plugin, I figured out a growth rate that I was confident that I could reach, given that I did X, Y, and Z in terms of sales and marketing. And I baked that into how I valued the business that I was buying. So, that takes time and effort, and that's all work that needs to be put in post, closing of the deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What do you want to ship this week?
Yes, I want to do one specific thing this week. So I decided that after last week, I want to stop guessing what my users want, and I want to actually get more users and then ask those users what they want. So up until now, I've been looking at different features that I could implement, but it's all come in based on things that I've thought up in my mind. And there's been one or two support requests where users have requested features. So those, you know, those are probably the first features that I'd like to tackle. But I want to spend more time doing that sales and marketing work to grow the user base, so that I've got a bigger pool of people to sample and ask what features that you want for the software. So my focus for the next, I'd say month or two, is to spend time working just on sales and marketing. And I spoke to another WordPress plugin business owner, and he gave me some of the best advice that I've gotten thus far in terms of sales and marketing for WordPress plugins. And I'm looking to implement all those different things that he suggested to me. And one of those is obviously the item that I was working on last week, which is the form for the free license registration. So my commitment for this week is to go in and build that mail sequence on the other side of the form. So a user should be able to install the free plugin, enter their email, which currently exists, but now I need to do the integration work. So it's going to send the email over to MailChimp, and then MailChimp will start sending them a sequence like I spoke about earlier. So I want to finish off that mail sequence and that MailChimp integration and hopefully use that to upsell more pro users and then use those users to start figuring out the direction that I want to take the plugin and the features that we want to build out.
Is there anything else, or that's going to take up the most of your time?
Yeah, I think that's going to take up most of my time. One exciting thing happened in this past week that I haven't mentioned yet, in that I took on a contractor that I previously had worked with, and he is now back with me, and he's going to start doing a lot of the development work around the support queries that we get. So if there's a bug, he's going to fix it. And there's one or two features, like I mentioned, that have been requested by users through our support system. And I'm going to get him to actually work on that. So I'm trying not to touch the code, but I do have him in the background kind of ticking along the developments of the plugin. So there's a few features. Obviously, that's on him, not on me. But it's nice to have that development support so that I can focus fully on the sales and marketing and growing the sales, so that hopefully one day I can build a small team around this plugin.
That's exciting. There's one thing I want to include into our podcast. For those of you who are listening, you might have noticed by this time that I might sound a lot better this time. And
I notice it.
And so I've purchased a boom arm and a professional. Well, is this a professional? I don't even know. Like, there are like so many different mics out there. But at least this is a much better mic than my AirPods, which I used to record the previous episode. And there was one thing that kind of pushed me over the edge after we record our first episode, because I was thinking, we're just recording the first episode, right? Who cares, right? But I care. When I listen to the other podcasts, I notice when the recording is good versus the ones that are kind of you can hear, the ambient noise and the fans and stuff like that. And I saw an article, which we will include in the show notes. The title of the article is "High Quality Audio Makes You Sound Smarter." And there was a study done where, according to the article, it says people rated a physicist's talk as 19.3% better when they listened to it in high audio quality. So for a person like me, I'm gonna need all the help in the world. So if this is a getting a better mic is a cheat code, then hopefully you will believe that I'm smarter than I really am.
I think you're too hard on yourself. You're a very smart guy. But yes, I mean, I think the other thing that we spoke about in the episode that never was, the one that we went, that the one track went missing, was we talked a little bit about the podcast in general and how we've moved on to philosophy now. You spent a lot of time editing the last episode, and we each had 400 ums in the last episode, and it took a lot of effort to take those out and then, you know, improve the audio to a standard that we were kind of happy with. But the idea now is for us to spend, I would say, maximum an hour editing each episode and not focusing so much on the nitty-gritty details, but, you know, using hacks like better microphones to improve our audio quality and doing less editing, because we can't spend 8 hours every week editing this podcast. So this is just one small improvement that we can make that'll help us out on the back end where we have to go in and edit this podcast.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to make sure that when I listen back to myself, I cringe all the time when I listen to my own voice. I guess that's common maybe for many people.
Yeah.
At least I'll sound okay.
Yeah, I could not listen. My wife was listening to the podcast out loud on her phone, and I cannot be in the same room while she listens to me speak on a podcast. It was too cringy for me. I'm like, I hate the sound of my voice. But generally, when other people hear it, they say it sounds all right. So I think we're all naturally very hard on ourselves, especially when we strive for perfection. But I think it's important that specifically for this, we've got the attitude of just ship it. Let's get it out there. Let's consistently release a podcast every week. It's not going to be perfect. We're going to learn as we go. Hopefully by episode 10, we are much better than we are in episode 1.
Yeah, we just want to be 1% better every single episode, and that compounds. That we will sound like whoever is the best podcasters out there, Joe Rogan or Tim Ferriss, if we can just even improve 1% every single episode, and that will compound quickly.
Yeah, better every day or every week, we'll say.
Yep. Is there anything else you want to add to this episode?
No, I think we're probably just about at time. It's gone on longer than we predicted it would for this re-recording. But hopefully the listeners enjoyed it. We did look at the analytics on the last episode, and people are listening. So we're not talking to ourselves, which is nice. But yeah, it's great to, if you are listening to this, it's great to have you. And We hope that you get value out of our conversation each week about growing software businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've already received some positive feedback. So, it's if any of our listeners out there would like us to talk about certain things, would want to find out about more, feel free to interact with us on Twitter. So I guess that's a good time to sign off.
Yeah.
Show notes can be found on buygrowrepeat.com, and we are also on Twitter at buygrowrepeat.
Yeah, our socials are hooked up, and we're excited about that. So if you haven't followed us yet on Twitter, go ahead. And then our personal profiles as well. Mine's MattGeri, Matt Jerry, and Johnny's is Johnny Tong, JohnnyTong.
All right, see you next week.